Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast, where you'll hear profiles of individuals and Bible-inspired organizations making a difference in the digital world. In each episode, we'll bring you stories of innovation, advancement, and real-life change. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the podcast today. This is a place where Kenny and I get a chance to interview leaders, innovators, and entrepreneurs at the intersection of Bible and technology, looking ahead as well as seeing what's happening right now in that space. And today we have Robert Rouse with us. Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast show.
Great to be on with y'all.
Okay. Thanks. Robert is an Air Force Academy graduate, former Tableau Zen Master and analytics consultant who has spent years collecting, visualizing, and sharing data about biblical subjects. And his big dream is to build the future of Bible applications. So tell us about your current project. How is it going?
Yeah, really, I'm just trying to continue the work that I started, almost 10 years ago now. I started getting more and more into data at work, doing things with business intelligence and all the reporting tools and dashboards, and just found a lot of neat ways to navigate data and do fun things like throw it on maps and look through things by timelines and stuff like that. And I thought, well, I mean, this corporate data that I'm looking at with, you know, places and people and calendars and time, like all of that's in the Bible, and it's data that I had already started collecting. So, yeah, I mean, the projects that I do are really just built off of that idea, a way to take the things that I do in the business world, technologies that are coming around in that space, and communicate something about the Bible through that technique and that technology.
That's pretty cool. So tell us a little about your latest project. What is the name of it? What's the URL? And then we can take it from there.
Yeah, well, my latest project actually doesn't have a URL just yet. The one that I recently completed, which was really fun, was a map of Paul's missionary journeys. It was taking some new mapping technology, cool things that you can do with Mapbox. So think of like a Google Maps style thing, but for places in the Bible and particularly Paul's missionary journeys, where you can like zoom in and out and click on places, find out more information. The neat thing about this is that the background of that isn't our modern world. It's the ancient Roman world.
Right.
So you see all the Roman roads and provinces and stuff like that. So that's the last one that's fully released. That's at viz.bible/journeys. The one I'm working on now, which we can get into a little bit later, is something that actually really got started in full force at a hackathon through the Faith Tech Ministry. Some folks in Chicago that I met up with invited me to come there and find some people that would help with the project. And so now there's an open source initiative to kind of take this data that I've been collecting and using to build visualizations and take that idea further. So excited about where that's going. There's not much out there yet, except the results from a fairly short hackathon and a whole lot of ideas.
Now, you are known, though, for being one of the guys out there that are really collecting data about the Bible and the scriptures, right? And so tell us a little bit of how that started. What inspired you to start collecting data sets? And what are the types of data that you are actually collecting?
It started a very long time ago when I started thinking about how pastors or theologians will come up and talk about some word in the Bible that, you know, Paul mentions the word love so many times in Corinthians. And, you know, my analytical mathematical engineering background says, well, all right, well, he says it that many times in that book, but how many times is it mentioned in other books? And, you know, what percentage of words is that? And, you know, is that significant? Like, how much more does Paul talk about love in Corinthians than we talk about love anywhere else in the Bible? So, like, I wanted to have a way to to compare those kinds of numbers and those kinds of statistical things that I hear people talk about in sermons. So that's where it started, was restructuring the words and verses in the Bible so that I could do that kind of thing on my own. But with that, I realized, well, I mean, I've got this cool tool over here that'll make maps. Like, what if I just take that word that's the name of a place and put a latitude and longitude on it? And that's where I found openbible.info, which is a really great site that has geographic data that you can download and use in Google Maps. So I pulled that in and made that a part of the database. Then I started finding topical indexes. And then I started thinking about time, you know, how can we put some kind of a timeline against this? And that's actually been the hardest thing to find. I ended up producing much of it myself from some older kind of topical indexes that had some time components in it, but at a very rudimentary level. So it was something that just kind of grew a piece at a time as I wanted to do a new visualization, or I somehow found another data set that I could incorporate. I just kind of merged it in.
That's fascinating. So you've worked with data visualization using software like Tableau. And for those that don't know what data visualization is, can you explain what it is? Because it's only become popular in our vernacular maybe for a year or two. And you said you've worked with it for like 10 years. So how has it made a difference? What's the big benefit with data visualization?
It's something that in our digital culture is making a huge, huge impact. I think there are a lot of reasons why. One is just that as soon as you put data on something, it immediately feels more trustworthy. Oftentimes that's not really true. It can fool you really fast. But seeing that there's some data associated with in our mindset, in our culture, gives that sense of trustworthiness. But for me, that's not really the motivation. I was inspired really early on by several data visualizations that were going around the internet. There was one that was a map of the entire world showing people's friendships on Facebook. It was a beautiful image. It carried a message with it about how people are connected across borders. And it was a very inventive way to communicate something that was based on data, but had a very personal element to it. And in kind of similar fashion, I came across a visualization that was based on Bible data, right? Bible cross references, and it had these huge sweeping arcs with connections from one chapter of the Bible to the next. And it carried a similar kind of message saying, you know, just like people are connected around the world, every part of the Bible is connected to every other part. In this very beautiful, emotionally engaging way, when I look at things that people share online, right, we know that images really capture people's attention. If you want to get noticed on social media, you need to use an image. So we've got all these tools to help you put quotes on top of images and you know, put stickers and other fun little things like that. What's different about data visualization is that it not only gets your attention in that image way, that in a way that that stirs up some feeling, but it prompts a question. It prompts you to think because it's often very dense with data. It's something that goes past that initial emotional response towards something that I think causes you to think a little bit more deeply. Even if just for a moment or two, it can prompt a question, prompt a conversation in your own mind or with others. So it takes advantage of the emotional and the mental, analytical kinds of things all in one package.
Prompting people to think and to consider the Bible, how does it help people better understand the Bible? Yeah. Does it require deep discipled believers, or can a new believer begin to take a next step with data visualization?
Yeah. Well, let me talk about a fundamental principle of what we talk about in my world of consulting businesses on, you know, why you should make a chart instead of a table of numbers. When you're trying to process information verbally or just through looking at words or looking through individual pieces of information. We know that people can only store so many numbers and so many words in their head at one given time. So as soon as you get more than like 7 or 8 names in your head, it gets hard to process that mentally. But it turns out that if you have something visual, and you don't have to store all of that information in your head in order to put the components together, you can take advantage of a God-given ability to process visual information much more efficiently. Now, where that applies to the Bible, and particularly with storytelling, that's something that in the world of data visualization is a buzzword. How do we tell a story with this data? Well, think about examples from the Old Testament that I kind of jokingly say that these are passages that you would put on a sleep timer and listen to on your audio Bible at night, because they're just lists of names. Okay. It's literally a data set. That's the way that I look at it. It's all the who begats, you know, Adam begat Seth and begat and begat and begat. And it talks about how old they were when their son was born and how old they were when they died and all these sorts of things. And it's just a full chapter worth of names and facts, names and facts. Mm-hmm. And Genesis 5 isn't the only chapter like that. We've got that in several places in the Old Testament. And so the question is then, well, is that something that we should just skip over? Is that something we shouldn't talk about or think about in discipleship? I think, you know, if it's worth preserving and putting in the Bible, mm-hmm. then it's worth finding a way to put it together in a story, put it together in a way that we can process mentally. So what one thing that I did as a project early on was to take those names and relationships between people, the father to son and so on and so on, link those up in a network diagram, which is the kind of diagram that you would see when people are describing people's friendships on social media. But if we use that for ancestry relationships, now these chapters that, you know, not only from Genesis and Chronicles and all those things in the Old Testament, they link all the way through the New Testament, the genealogies of Jesus and the Gospels. And we see now how everybody from Adam to Abraham to Isaac to David to Jesus is connected. And that tells a story. It tells a visual story that when you color that line of the lineage of Jesus, you see some really interesting things. Not only was he the son of David, but he was the son of David in two different ways, through Mary and through Joseph, which is a great thing to be talking about. We're recording this at the end of the year where we're celebrating that event and those people. So that's something that just jumps right out at you. But if you had to read through all those lists of names in chapters that are scattered across the Bible, it's a lot of mental work. It's a lot of study. It's something that you just wouldn't otherwise be likely to see without that visual.
Wow.
That, it is interesting, though, that data visualization pulls out a focus on connections versus just the topics, I guess, right? Is this something that we're going to see more of in discipleship and in studying of the Bible in small groups, et cetera? Do you think there are going to be tools that are going to be popularized that lay people can actually engage in pretty quickly?
I sure hope so. When I talk about Bible cross-references and show people some of my ideas, some of the things that people say, oh, you know what would be really useful is things like, well, I know that this verse is a quotation from the Old Testament, but from where? What's that connected to and why? Is it there because it's a quotation? Is it there because it's a fulfillment of prophecy? Right? We have those cross references in our Bible, but we don't necessarily know why they're connected. Those are things that I think that exist in Bible software that's out there. But I've found that those things, first of all, are mostly desktop software. The ones that aren't, you know, you can get a ton of Bible translations. You can get a ton of like reading plans and social sharing options and things like that. I would like to see those things that are baked into somewhat pricey desktop software, that price point come down and become more accessible to those people who are looking at the Bible on a mobile device, a touchscreen. They might be doing that on their own somewhere in a coffee shop, or they might be doing it in a small group study and just want some extra resource that gives them a little bit more information about what they're trying to study. That's one thing that I hope to see coming down the pike in the future.
Yeah, and again, this whole topic reminds me of there's a heavy promotional emphasis now on things like discover your DNA and your genealogy and ancestry.com, etc. And you could see that people are just fascinated by that history. And I can see how that might be a portal into this whole category of content that, hey, that type of relationship and story is available right here in God's family, and you're a part of it. And I think, you know, there's just so much potential that I can see. One of the things that I think that's great I was asked by somebody, who are you interviewing today? And I came up with the term that he's a Bible entrepreneur, because it always seems like every time we talk to you, last time we talked to you at the Faith Leads Tech conference in Nashville, and we've talked to you on the phone before, and every time you're thinking about new applications of technology or tools that we have available to, you know, Bible content, you're always, right, tinkering around. And so I understand you have a new or this next chapter, this next project that you are pretty excited about. Why don't we spend some time talking about that? So tell us a little bit about what's next coming out of it. Is that part of viz.bible, or is that another project outside of that?
Yeah. Well, I've always loved to tinker. I always wanted to be an inventor. So you could probably describe me as a Bible inventor or a Bible technologist, something like that. I don't know if I could attach the word entrepreneur to anything, because I don't actually sell anything yet through my efforts. That might change depending on where things go. The current project is to try to take those things that I've collected for individual visualizations, right? The genealogies of all the people in the Bible, maps of all the places of the Bible, and string those together to tell the story in a different way and to make something that I think represents the future of where Bible applications should go. So the project is called Theographic. I'm approaching it really as an open source project. And in fact, for anybody that's into open source project and it's good at code or design, you can find Theographic on GitHub and read about how to get involved there. But the basic idea of it is to solve some things that I think are fundamental problems with Bible applications today. The example that I love to give is when you're searching for Abraham, right? This is a character who is a chief component of the Abrahamic religions, which covers most of the world's religious thinking. So let's say that you want to find verses in the Bible about Abraham. So naturally, you're going to type that into a search box on your favorite Bible app or on a Bible website. And what it's going to give you is everything from Genesis 17 onward, and it's going to skip five entire chapters about Abraham's life. And the reason that it skips it is because he had a different name at the time. He was still called Abram. Yeah. His name didn't change to Abraham until Genesis chapter 17. So that's the first verse result you're going to find.
Yeah.
So I compare that with our experiences in every search engine today, Google in particular, that's smart enough to know that you're not just searching for a word on a page. You're searching for a person. You're searching for information about that person. And in fact, if you type Abraham into Google, you're going to get this little info box on the right about him, when he was born, places that he went, his spouse, his children, all that stuff. And that's what I'd like to see for Bible data. Google does that with a technology they call their knowledge graph. So that's part of the thinking behind the term theographic. Graph is just a way to say, this is representing connections between facts. So I'm building data structures and building ways to display and navigate those data structures that I think is as easy as you can possibly get. Everything is just one search term or one click away. Take the other example of Wikipedia. You're reading about Abraham on Wikipedia, and if you want to find out about his wife, Sarah, or the land of Canaan, all of those words are hyperlinked, right? You just click on it, and there you go. Mm. In Bible applications today, it's harder than that. It's still relatively simple compared to, you know, searching, doing library research, right? It'll do a lot of that searching for you, but you still have to search. You still have to find a navigation menu. You still have to do some things like, well, you know, if I'm searching for Saul or someone named Simon, well, there are several people that have gone by that name. You might have to do a little more digging to figure out which one is which. The idea behind Theographics to also help people navigate those things so that you don't have to do that kind of digging. It just takes you to the right place in one click. So that's what we're building. It's in very, very early stages. I've got a lot of the data together. It's fully complete just for one book of the Bible, the book of Acts. But it's something that is growing pretty rapidly as a result of connections that I was able to make during the Faith Leads Tech Conference, where we met recently, the hackathon from Chicago, and just subsequent follow-up conversations. God has really brought a lot of new people into this project, and I'm still praying that he'll make a way to make it possible. And I believe he will.
For all these projects, Robert, it looks like you're basically on the cutting edge. You're really tinkering on that fringe going forward. Which would you say is the limiting factor? Is it the technology and the horsepower of the tools that you can actually apply to it, or is it the data sets that you need in certain organized fashion?
Well, it's definitely not the horsepower. When people talk about big data, they usually mean things on the scale of Facebook or Twitter, where you've got millions of people having millions and billions of interactions per day. Or they're talking about clickstream data through websites where you've got millions or even billions of clicks a day. That's big data, and that's where you run into hardware problems. Look, there's less than 750,000 words in the whole Bible. Even if you had 10 different translations, we're still not really talking about a big data set in terms of computing power.
Right, right.
So the difficulty really is the availability of that data. I mentioned openbible.info. Most people, when they use geographic data online through an online Bible application, they use that because, you know what? That's what's available. That's what's out there in sort of a public space. It's not fully open source, you know, it's Creative Commons, but, you know, it's out there and it's available for people to use. But there's really not a lot like that out there. That's particularly true of timelines. So I've done my best to take that data that I've pulled together and structured and formatted and tweaked to make that available for people. I think we need a lot more of that. If we're going to have a thriving ecosystem of Bible apps for a new generation, then we need a new generation of open source, freely available data sets that go beyond accessing the text of a Bible translation. Because I'll say there's a lot of great tools available that help you get the text of the Bible in all kinds of languages, in all sorts of versions and versification systems, and all of that. What I'm trying to do is link that text to subjects, link it to a place on a map, link it to a person's ancestry, link it to a time in history. So it's those linkages that I'd like to see more openly available data so that people can be creative, make their own things, come up with their own solutions to problems that they see.
Wow. All I can say is, wow, I'm speechless. And this is amazing work that you're pioneering, because I'm thinking, I had studied the Bible in seminary and tried to make those connections in my head. And now you're actually visualizing it, so we don't have to keep it in our head, and more people can understand the connections in the Bible in so many different ways. So thank you for pioneering what you're doing. Remind us again, what is the topic of your talk at faithleads.tech that our viewers and listeners can access?
Yeah, the talk was called Bible Study Beyond Words, Using Data Visualization as a Teaching Tool. So that idea of Bible study beyond words is, you know, when we represent things visually and give people these charts that show people connections and you know, even relative frequencies of words, like I mentioned, that adds a different dimension to our Bible study.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, faithleads.tech is the website where you can purchase a digital pass to access Robert's talk and a dozen other talks, as well as the backstage interviews. And for those of you that are listeners and viewers to the future.bible podcast, we have a free digital pass to the on-demand viewing of these videos. And comment on this podcast episode on future.bible, and we'll select a winner. Let's see, whenever this gets posted, we'll put a date there. So we'll draw a winner at that date. Thank you, Robert, for dropping by and sharing about all the exciting things that you're doing with tech and the Bible. Hope we get a chance again to revisit in several months and discover what the next project you're working on.
Be glad to do it.
Great. Robert and Kenny, thanks for an amazing conversation. And thank you to our audience for listening to the future.bible podcast. Please let us know your thoughts and reflections about today's interview at our website, future.bible. And we are always looking for suggestions for future shows. So let us know through email, social media, whatever you'd like. And we really ask for your input, because we want to be the number one show where you meet innovators ready to talk about how we can apply the always evolving world of technology to the never changing message found in the Bible, all for deeper engagement with the Bible and its life changing message. And remember, for videos, transcripts, and more, head over to www.future.bible. Till next time, be blessed and remember to be a blessing.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's session, please help us share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and family members. You can do that by leaving a review on iTunes or by sharing our website, www.future.bible, with your network. Don't forget to join us next week for the next episode of the Future.Bible podcast.